How do you cope when things are overwhelming? How do you cope when things are, when life gives you lemons, like we saw in this video? We just saw that in this video there's lots of lemons. And when life gives you lemons, the answer to this internet provider's ad is, well, to switch to Tangerine, to switch to an internet provider that seems to work regardless of NBN's service. somehow. Well, bad internet isn't the only thing we deal with, is it? Many of us have to deal with sickness. We have to deal with relationship breakdown. We have to deal with job losses. And there's many other factors in life that actually cause us to be under pressure. Maybe the last few years have put some pressure on you. Maybe interest rate changes. They're good for some, but they're hurtful to others. The price of fuel means things are a little bit, makes things a little bit harder. There are many things that I think put us under some sort of pressure. Now, I think we can be thankful because the church that Peter, our mate Peter, who wrote this letter that we're looking at this term, he was under significant pressure, or saw that the church was under significant pressure. You can see that from verse 1 and 2 of the introduction of this letter. Pressure because they were followers of Jesus. Now, Peter in the letter calls them the elect, those chosen by God. And as we go through this book, and as we look at this first section today, what we see is that Peter is writing to a group, a group of believers that are under pressure. They're being marginalised and seen as social outcasts because they follow Jesus. Now, in this book, Peter refers to them as aliens and strangers, not because they're, from another world, but because they're in a world and long to be with Jesus in heaven. But also because right now, where they are outcasts. Their social standing has been challenged because they're in Christ, and this means that they are aliens among their own people. Now, maybe you've experienced this when you tell people that you follow Jesus. They think to themselves, or maybe they even say out loud, why? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you listen to an ancient book? It's 2,000 years old. What are you doing? Now, I've heard these comments at a coffee group that I have attended. They're a great bunch of guys who go, but they ask, oh, do people still go to church, do they? Is that something people still do today? I thought we were past that point in history. Now, if this happens on a larger scale, it may be compared to what Peter is writing to here. This is the pressure the early church was under. Society doesn't want them, they're outcasts. So today, as we start to look at this book, I want you to ask, well, how do you live under pressure? The pressure that each of us might be under is more than likely different to what Peter is writing to, but I think there's a good reason for us to listen to what Peter has to say, to hear what he has to say, because what he says will help us deal with the pressure that we face each day in our lives from whatever it may be that you're facing. So grab a Bible, get the outline in front of you from the bulletin or the newsletter, and there's space for you to make some notes. Let's see how followers of Jesus can live with the pressure they face today. So we're answering the question, how to live under pressure. How to live under pressure. And the first way is to remember the hope you have in heaven. Now, God in his mercy has given those who trust him an unending inheritance. And we see that in verses 3 and 4. It says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now, if you're part of God's elect, we saw that's in verse 1. If you are chosen by God, or another way of putting that is if you have put your trust in Jesus, the first thing to note is that you have an amazing inheritance. Gina Reinhart's kids took her to court to get some money out of her. Apparently that was successful. They were concerned they wouldn't get what was owed to them. But in this inheritance, well, it's yours when you trust in Jesus. Safe and secure. There's no problem. And let me tell you, this inheritance is an inheritance which will last forever. Look at how it describes the inheritance in verse 4. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Imperishable. Even food that we make today that is imperishable still comes with an expiry date. It's quite strange, isn't it? But not this inheritance. No, imperishable, undefiled. We make such amazing things like the internet, virtual reality goggles. I don't know if you've ever tried some of those. And many other things that can be used for such amazing applications. But they are all defiled and they get used for sin. But not your inheritance. It's undefiled. It's perfect. It's pure. Beautiful. The last word there, unfading. Our cool cabana's coming up to about 6 years now, and it's already starting to fade. If you don't know what a cool cabana is, that's an umbrella that you use on the beach. It's starting to fade. Not your inheritance. It's not going to fade away the older you get or the longer you've got it. No, it's there waiting for you. But it's not just the inheritance that's being kept. But you too are being kept as well, aren't you? Look at verse 5. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Just like your inheritance is being kept, you too are being kept, guarded by God's power for a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Maybe when you pass on, that is. When you leave this earth, the salvation that God has guarded for you will be revealed and he'll take you to be with him. It's a bit like a trophy cabinet, isn't it? This is the trophy cabinet that the racing team McLaren has in their factory. The trophies are kept for people to see. The drivers never get to keep their own trophies. They're there for the team to see how many races they've won. And I'm sure it's a great motivator for them to win the next race. And this is what God has done with your salvation. He's kept it for that moment that when you pass on from this temporary earthly life to pass on into the more permanent eternal life. He's got your salvation ready and waiting. So how do you live today? How do you live under pressure? Well, know that your inheritance will never fade away. That your salvation is kept and ready for when it needs to be revealed. Revealed through Christ that you belong to him. Now what this is saying is that when the pressure hits and if persecution comes, then there's no point relying on your superannuation or your property portfolio or your business acumen. None of that is going to keep you safe. Don't handle pressure by turning to yourself when it's God who has everything in hand, ready and waiting. See, living today, knowing the hope you have in heaven, that hope is sure, that hope is forever, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Such amazing news, isn't it? Well, that's our first point. The second point, the second way followers of Jesus live under pressure is that they rejoice through trials. Peter writes to a group of churches who he calls the exiles in verse 1. They're spread over this region of modern-day Turkey. There you go. And he turns from a future eschatological hope to how they're living today. He focuses on their love and their joy in the middle of suffering. And you can see on the slide there, it mentions all those names that we have in those first few verses of the book. As he turns to the future from as he turns from the future eschatological hope, our end times hope, to how they're living today, he focuses now on their joy and love in the middle of suffering. And you can see this in verses 6 and 7. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now what he's saying here is that you can rejoice through the suffering. As they deal with the sufferings, which they will prove their faith to be true. Peter said to them in verses 3 to 5 that they have a great hope. And this is the great hope that is kept in heaven for them. It's the basis of their rejoicing. As they suffer various trials, they've got to keep their eye on the salvation prize. And I think we should give it a little bit of a special name. We're going to call it their salvation joy. Because their joy is based on their salvation that is yet to come. Can you see that? So that when life throws lemons at you, how do you respond? With salvation joy. When your heart has trouble, when you have that lump cut out of you, when you find you're allergic to something, and when you find your job's at risk, or maybe your breath is short and shallow, when your spouse walks out or your kids give up on Christ, when your life seems pointless, where do you turn in those moments? Well, Paul is saying, turn to your salvation joy. Rejoice in the trials. Rejoice with a salvation joy that is kept in heaven for you, a joy that God is hanging on or holding on for you, ready for the right time for salvation to appear. How do you live under pressure? If you trust in Christ, know that Jesus has everything ready for you. He's got you in his grip. And while you remember this, deal with those moments of disappointment and frustration and anger, but deal with them with your salvation joy. Deal with them knowing that your future is secure. Deal with them in prayer and knowing that you have an imperishable, undefiled, unfading salvation waiting for you from God. Because as we read in verse 7, those who suffer for following Jesus will be refined, and the character of their faith will show that they are worth more than gold, and it will result in praise, glory, and honour of God. Hang on. What was that? Did you see what happened there? Our salvation joy through trials brings praise to God. Not to us, but to God. As we suffer through trials, we're refined. Our faith in Christ is proved to be true and right. A genuine faith is more valuable to God than gold, because he is a God who delights in being trusted. Do you trust his salvation for you? Do you trust that he holds on to your salvation, waiting for the right time for it to appear? As you deal with sufferings in life, are you turning to him and trusting him, knowing that no matter what happens, well, he's got you? I think Peter does something lovely here in verses 8 and 9, because now he speaks to those who haven't seen Christ, to people like us. He says there in verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with an inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Is this your salvation joy? Do you rejoice because of your salvation? Do you rejoice knowing that God has your salvation guarded in heaven for you? Do you rejoice with an inexpressible and glorious joy? I feel like this picture is almost lost for words. I get lost for words trying to think about how to explain this joy that we have in Christ. We saw that movie Project Hail Mary recently, and there's this character in the movie that gets really excited, and he doesn't quite have the right words to say in the movie at particular times. And so he repeats the same phrase that he thinks is a really good one. So he says, amaze. And he goes, amaze, amaze, amaze. Amaze, amaze, amaze. And this is what it means, isn't it? To express this joy, inexpressible and glorious joy. Amaze, amaze, amaze. And it seems to me it's this over-the-top rejoicing. Rejoicing in the suffering because it leads to the salvation of your souls. It leads to being united with Christ forever. It leads to an eternity with Christ. Is this your salvation joy? So you can't face your sufferings and throw out all joy of knowing Christ. But as you deal with the difficult things that are happening in your life, lean into the faith that you have in Christ. Rejoice with a salvation joy. And that's our second point for today. The third way followers of Jesus live under pressure today is that they live the dream. Now in verses 10 to 12, Peter speaks about the prophets. He's speaking about the prophets of the Old Testament. And he says that they lived for the salvation that was revealed to you. Now the you are those that Peter is writing to. But I think, this letter is also to us, to those whose trust is in Christ. Listen to what Peter says here in verses 10 to 12. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. The prophets of the Old Testament knew of the Messiah. They longed to see the day where salvation would come to them and their sins would be forgiven. We were looking at Romans 4 on Thursday at Bible study and saw that Abraham longed to see the salvation that came through Jesus. This is what we see in the Old Testament again and again, that salvation is being prepared for all people through the Messiah. The Messiah who the prophets spoke about and inquired into and testified to, even though they couldn't see it clearly. And that's why at the beginning of verse 12 it says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. See, they stood far off, looking into the future, seeing a salvation that was to come, a bit like this image where we have the prophet standing far back, far away from the cross, looking forward, maybe not seeing the cross as clearly as this, but they knew salvation was coming. But you and I stand at the foot of the cross, knowing that salvation comes from Jesus. It's very clear, isn't it? And just like the righteousness that came to Abraham through faith, we too are saved by the righteousness that comes to us through faith in Christ. Look at the end of verse 12. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these. Isn't that amazing? The angels didn't see it clearly. They longed to see a glimpse of it. And yet what do we see? We see salvation right here, right now. What is it that they long to see? They long to see the gospel. The gospel that Peter preached to 3,000 or to many people, and 3,000 of them gave their life to Jesus. The same gospel which brought churches into existence. The same gospel that came to Australia 200 years ago. The same gospel that brought many of us salvation joy. As I look at verse 12, I imagine angels peering over the top of a fence looking, trying to catch a glimpse of what that might look like. And yet for each one of us, it's here right now. It's clear as a bell. We saw that last week. We saw last week that salvation is here right now. No, there's no hindrance to submitting to the love of Christ in you. So if you're not following him or haven't told anyone that you're following him, then maybe today's that day to look at the salvation that comes through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, and it's ready for you to take and enjoy. Salvation is right here, right now, and we are living the dream. We don't only hope for what's to come, but salvation is clear for us today, clear for us to live wholeheartedly for Jesus. So how are you going to live under pressure this week? Well, remember the hope you have in heaven. Remember your salvation joy. And make sure you trust in Christ. Live the dream of salvation being available to us right here, right now. Well, let's pray. Father God, we give thanks that even though we face all sorts of trials each and every day, we ask that you give us your strength to remember you each day. Help us to know that you are our salvation joy, that you hold our salvation in your hands. Lord, we come and ask that you help us this week to keep looking to you and trusting you, to remember the hope that we have in Jesus, to remember our salvation joy and to know that your salvation is here right now for us. Lord, we ask that we may be for your praise and your glory. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.